This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Inauguration Monday. Talking about celebration, being hopeful, Trump's inauguration. Why and how did Democrats fall out of favor so fast? We'll continue along those lines this hour. Get to some emails and some other things. But you know what time it is. Inauguration, no inauguration, holiday, Super Bowl, it doesn't matter what it is. Every single Monday at this time, we do the exact same thing. We do Medal of Honor Monday. You take a Medal of Honor citation and you read it. That's all we do. You celebrate a hero. We remember their names. We remember their deeds. We hold them up in front of the next generation as an example of what you should be. And I want to emphasize to you how important that is. I bring that up. I try to bring that up every Monday before I read these things, but it's really, really, really important to give the next generation something to aspire to. It's not enough to just give constant warnings. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't this. Don't that. Don't that. Give them, it does, not necessarily heroes. Doesn't have to be, I want to be that guy. That's, I'm not saying that, but somebody with qualities of some kind that you can say, look, there, that's what you do then. I told you that the night I talked about those two brave Navy SEALs who went into the water just recently. One went into the water, rough seas, it's just real ugly. His buddy went in after him. They both died. And I said, How do I raise sons? Because I'm not that guy. How do I raise sons to be that? Not that I want my sons to die, but man, let me raise men that go into the raging ocean after a friend. That's the kind of son, that's the kind of men I want to raise. Well, I got a bunch of emails after that from various warrior types, from some SEALs, from cops, and from various people who listen to the show, some real studs who listen to this show. And what a lot of them said was, well, just talking to them about it can make a big difference. It goes in there. That's part of why we do this. And remember, we take email suggestions. You can send emails, love, hate, death threats, ask Dr. Jesse questions, and Medal of Honor citations.
You can send those in to Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. I don't know why I can't talk. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Shut up, Chris. Mr. Kelly, would you please give Marine Corporal Kyle Carpenter a Medal of Honor shout out? He will be recognized at the National Championship football game on Monday, the 20th of January. But your radio audience can also hear his full story here. He sends a link, so on and so forth. That's right. My Buckeyes are in the National Championship tonight. Woo-hoo! Anyway, without further ado, more importantly, let's pay our respect to Mr. William Kyle Carpenter, United States Marine Corps from Afghanistan.
Ready? Aim.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty while serving as an automatic rifleman with Company F, 2nd Battalion, 9th Marines, Regimental Combat Team 1, 1st Marine Division, 1st Marine Expeditionary Force in Helmand Province, Afghanistan, in support of Operation Enduring Freedom on the 21st of November 2010. Lance Corporal Carpenter was a member of a platoon-sized coalition force comprised of two reinforced Marine squads partnered with an Afghan National Army squad. The platoon had established Patrol Base Dakota 2 days earlier in a small village in the Marjab district in order to disrupt enemy activity and provide security for the local Afghan population. Lance Corporal Carpenter and a fellow Marine were manning a rooftop security position on the perimeter of Patrol Base Dakota when the enemy initiated a daylight attack with hand grenades, one of which landed inside their sandbag position. Without hesitation and with complete disregard for his own safety, Lance Corporal Carpenter moved toward the grenade in an attempt to shield his fellow Marine from the deadly blast. When the grenade detonated, his body absorbed the brunt of the blast, severely wounding him, but saving the life of his fellow Marine. By his undaunted courage, bold fighting spirit, and unwavering devotion to duty in the face of almost certain death, Lance Corporal Carpenter reflected great credit upon himself and upheld the highest traditions of the Marine Corps and the United States Naval Service. That's freaking awesome. How do you raise men like that? What's your reaction if a grenade lands right in front of you and a buddy as you're sitting down? What's my reaction? I don't know. I had people try to kill me, shoot at me, and yeah, I think they tried to blow me up, but I never had a grenade land at my freaking feet. I don't know what I would do with my buddies. If my buddy was right there, maybe I'm the type of guy to grab him and throw him on it. Hey, give him a Medal of Honor. Thanks, Bob. I don't know. But I know I want my sons to be the type like Kyle Carpenter. Pretty freaking cool, right? And we don't have to play taps for the young man. And that is very rare in those cases where somebody jumps on a grenade or shields their body with a grenade, because grenades, when they're that close, tend to finish the job. Friggin' awesome, right? So there, Medal of Honor Monday. Now, speaking of military things, speaking of why Trump is at the, quote, peak of his power, according to CNN, and why the Democrat Party is at their lowest low, 33% approval nationally. Like I said before, Joe Biden got elected president, but they carried him into the presidency, and he was unable to function as an adult. And because he was unable to function as an adult, he was unable to be the dad of the Democrat Party, controlling the worst impulses of his party. So he signed whatever executive orders the evil communists handed him. He did whatever he was told, most of the time not even knowing what's going on. That was very obvious to everybody. Trump talked today about the military. Look, even during the most insane public emotions when it came to COVID, there was never any significant public support for kicking out people in the military who didn't want to take
this
it?
This week, I will reinstate any service members who were unjustly expelled from our military for objecting to the COVID vaccine mandate with full back pay. And I will sign an order to stop our warriors from being subjected to radical political theories and social experiments while on duty. It's going to end immediately.
Why did that stuff happen so badly? It's not just that Obama paved the way for it, and he did. Obama paved the way for a lot of this stuff, fired virtually every general who was, quote, disloyal or possibly disloyal to him, and filled up the flag officer corps with a bunch of committed communists who would do what they had to. Yes, all that stuff is true. But how did you go from that to having multiple, in fact, I believe it's every branch, Chris Corey, correct me if I'm wrong, almost every branch of the military putting out rainbow advertisements? It was everyone. I know the Marines did it too. So I can't. Well, the Marines wouldn't. No. I remember the Marine putting up a Kevlar, a helmet with the rainbow crayons in the thing.
Why are you gay?
How did you go from I want this general because he's more loyal to me to, hey guys, congratulations, it's drag night on the base? How did you go from that to multiple Navy sailors? I've watched them with my own eyes putting out the gayest videos they can possibly put out online for publication. I know what you're thinking. That's every Navy video. No, these ones are more extreme than even that. Hi, I'm Gavin on the USS Harvey Milk. How did that happen? Once again, Joe Biden was not with it enough to be dad, not with it enough to say no. So there were no breaks and no controls on what happened under his administration. We watched 4 years of unhinged, unchecked Democrat power, and it's nuts. And we will, I tell you what, I'm going to return to the Biden portion of it. I want to talk to about a couple things Trump did today. Some are hilarious. All of them are wonderful. Some of the things he did, some of the things he said. We'll get to some emails, and then we'll come back to this. And this is going to be important. What do we do now? I'm not just talking about, okay, we open up energy and secure the border and stuff like that. As it is to the other side. How do we deal with the other side? What do we do now? We'll talk about that, but I want to get to some of the stuff Trump said. First, I want to tell you about a little thing I like to call the obliterator. I wish I could tell you I came up with that name. I would like to tell you if I started my own high-quality blender, I would name it the obliterator, but that's probably not true. I'm not smart enough to do so. Chefman is, though. They built one that is durable. Gosh, I can't stand how blenders just break. I think we've broken like 6 of them in the course of our marriage. This thing is built like a tank, and it looks good. You're getting a premium blender. It won a Red Dot Best Concept Design Award. They sell this thing in Walmart, is how popular the obliterator is. It does everything. It gets used 2 times a day in the Kelly household. I think it's the only thing that can actually liquefy all the freaking vegetables in that garbage smoothie Ob makes every morning. Do you want an obliterator? You should. It's what I use. CHEFMAN.com. Chefman.com. Go get your obliterator. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday, an inauguration day. Remember, if you missed any part of the show, you can download the whole thing, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Jesse, you were right all along, Jesse. The communists were infusing the Biden administration with communist ideas. So, yeah, look, Joe Biden wasn't strong enough to control the most radical elements of his party. We'll get back to that in a while. There are a couple things that I very much enjoyed today. Remember the 51 former intelligence officials who signed that letter claiming Hunter Biden's laptop from hell was Russian disinformation? Yeah. Trump's taking away all their security clearances. And let me tell you why that's actually a big, big, big deal. Let me explain a little bit about this. Security clearance is one of those things that every dude, I can't speak for the ladies here, but every dude loves it. Don't we? Don't you want top secret security clearance? You know, for your eyes only stuff. Every dude loves the covert stuff, the spy stuff. That's right, Chris. Feels like 007. Or Chris, is there a Jewish 007? Like something Hammer or something like that? What? I'm asking, Chris. There's got to be. You know what? I'm watching this show, Chris, that you would probably like it. It's called Fauda. You ever heard of it? F-A-U-D-A. Hold on, buddy. Before you look it up, I don't want to get your hopes up here. I need to clarify. I had heard the show was really good. I'm like an episode and a half into it. So far it is. It's a bunch of Israeli commandos killing a bunch of terrorists. I think it's Hamas. I don't know. If they've said that, I wasn't really paying that much attention. The dubbing and the subtitles leaves a lot to be desired. So I'm just... Anyway, Chris, we're not getting on a sidetrack. Back to what we were talking about. Top secret security clearances. Sorry, I didn't mean to get off on a sidetrack. Top secret things... We love them. We want higher levels of security clearance. All dudes like that. But you should understand in D.C., in Washington, D.C., higher levels of security clearance oftentimes just mean higher levels of money. That's what they mean. Higher levels of money. And you think, or maybe you don't think this, but here's what I would have thought if you'd asked me 10 years ago before I knew any better. Well, yeah, if you are the head of the CIA, if you get to be director of the CIA, yes, you're going to have the most top secret security clearance there is. You know all about the aliens and everything else. But when you leave, they take that away, right? You still aren't allowed to have access to the highest levels of secrecy because you're not CIA director anymore. So Chris is even asking, that doesn't happen? No, it doesn't happen. These guys keep their security clearance levels most of the time. And look, this is not universal for everybody, but especially if you're a system servant, if you're some four-star general, CIA, and you've proven to be a loyal friend of the system, they don't come and take your security clearance out of your wallet as you leave. And so you don't leave and go right to the unemployment line. You leave and walk right into how many different lobbying firms, private security firms, foreign governments, how many different people will pay somebody who has top secret security clearance? How many different entities around the globe, not just around America, will pay you for the fact you still have access to high levels of secret information? The answer is a lot. A lot of them. Well, 51 former intelligence officials, they signed on to a letter allegedly created by Antony Blinken, John Brennan, James Clapper, Leon Panetta, those types, all signed on to this letter. A letter stating that Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation. Except it wasn't. And that wasn't a misleading statement. They didn't shade the truth a little bit. They lied outright. And they used, in part, their credentials of having top secret security clearance to give a lot of credence to that letter. It put a lot of rear end behind that letter, for lack of a better way to put it. Wow. I mean, because think about it. I know you already know, but really genuinely think about the norms and normas in your life. Your neighbor. Look, actually, I don't have to think about it. I have a neighbor. I'm thinking about him. His name starts with a D. I'm not going to call him out right here. He's a Republican. He votes Republican. He's very much a norm, though, and not going to be listening to this show. I remember when that letter came out. And I was out back. We were all at a different neighbor's house. We were all out back. We were all playing cornhole, couple beers, just relaxing on a Friday, Saturday night. And I started griping about that letter and how crooked it was with a couple buddies. And I remember, like it was yesterday, my neighbor, D, we'll call him, said, Jesse, you really think 51 CIA directors with top secret clearance would lie on a letter by like that? For the norms and normas, it's very, very effective to do things like that. And it was effective. In part, it launched Joe Biden into the White House. Donald Trump took away their security clearance today. Gosh, that's freaking hysterical. But that probably pales in comparison to the saltiness of what he did to Mark Milley. We'll talk about Milley and the Biden preemptive pardons next.
Jesse Kelly.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yes, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, a wonderful Monday, reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We have wonderful, loving emails like this one. You got to stay on for the whole thing. Lifelong Republican here. As a fellow who was raised in Wyoming, I found your discussion about how cold it gets in Montana and Wyoming spot on. People are amazed our closest sports opponent was 49 miles away and the next was 99 miles. That's what it was like, Chris. We always dressed and planned, as you said, as if we'd have to walk home or camp out overnight in the car. This is the best part, though. Though I listen to you maybe once or twice a month and find most of what you say boorish and or insufferable, tonight you were correct about the subject of cold weather. Well, look, It's always nice to meet a new fan, Chris. Always nice. I love you too, buddy. All right, Joe Biden did something totally unsurprising today, and I'm enjoying a lot of it, to be honest. It's making other people angry, and I understand why, but I'm enjoying a lot of it. I'm talking about the pardons. Today, Joe Biden pardoned Fauci, Liz Cheney. He also, and this was planned, I should note, he came out and he pardoned his own family members, multiple family members, with backdated pardons, and he did this 15 minutes before the inauguration. Fauci and Liz Cheney and those types, he announced those first thing this morning, so Trump would have time to look at those and digest those and prepare. But he waited to pardon his own family members 15 minutes before he was no longer president. He's on his way out the door. The boxes have been packed. Everything's done. He leans down and signs a get out of jail free card for his family. And people are angry about it. And people are pointing out the Biden hypocrisy. I'm about to tell you why you should feel good. I know everyone's pointing this stuff out. This is Biden from 2020.
Well, it concerns me in terms of it, what kind of precedent it sets and how the rest of the world looks at us as a nation of laws and justice. You're not going to see in our administration that kind of approach to pardons.
And everyone's saying, what a liar, what a hypocrite. Okay, all right. Chuck Schumer back then was talking about the same thing. Well, you can't do it. What an abuse of presidential authority.
The president's reportedly asking his staff whether he can issue preemptive pardons for himself, his family members, Rudy Giuliani. There's a simple answer, no. No, Mr. President, that would be a gross abuse of the presidential pardon authority.
Let me tell you why I'm happy about these pardons. I'm thrilled, actually. One, I understand your anger because you want Dr. Fauci in prison, so do I. You want Liz Cheney in prison, so do I. If Biden or his family members, who are actually mostly Biden's, but if the Biden family have used their position to commit crimes, you want them in prison. So do I. I agree with you. Yeah, totally agree with those things. But I know two things. One, that wasn't going to happen. Look, just because we're seeing a newer, sterner Republican Party doesn't mean we have yet the kind of Republican Party that has the teeth to actually put Democrats in jail. We don't have that yet, okay? So that's one. I come at this from the approach of, I never thought Fauci was going to prison anyway. So because I come at it from that approach, why am I happy about it? Well, I'm happy about it because just like we talked about earlier, the emperor has no clothes now, and everyone knows it. Everybody knows it. Even your liberal Aunt Peggy can't offer more than a half-hearted, well, he kind of had to because Trump was going to prosecute. Even she can't offer anything more than a half-hearted defense of preemptively pardoning all the family members who were involved in your criminal enterprise. There's no shining up that turd. You're evil. These people are all evil criminals, and they've stopped hiding it, and there's a huge benefit in that. There is a huge benefit in that, and that is happening in part still because of the Biden family being on the outs with the Democrat Party. Walk with me here. Even if you're a sitting president who remains popular in your own party, and you were a powerful sitting president, you have limits on what you can do on your way out the door. That's why you've always kept yourself in check. We'll make it about Obama. Okay, Obama, even. If you go look at just pardons, things like pardons, and executive orders on the way out the door. Now, you think, you know, I think Obama's the most evil president we've ever had, and I do, but why didn't he give out near as many pardons? Why didn't Barack Obama do these crazy over-the-top executive orders? And I know he did a bunch of them in the beginning, and he did some, but why didn't he do a bunch of them at the end to really just kind of screw over the whole country? Hey, by the way, you can't drill for oil now, and you never will. Ha, 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 up yours, I'm retiring. Why didn't he do that? Because Barack Obama wanted to remain in good standing with the Democrat Party. George Bush, we'll make it about Republicans. We talked enough about Democrats tonight. George Bush, at the end of his 8 years, why not do that? George Bush had political allies in prison. Why not turn them loose? These are people already in prison. Why not turn all of them loose? Why not do that? Well, in part, you are still kept in check because you want to remain in good standing with your party. There are a lot of benefits to remaining in good standing with the national party. We're talking a brighter, shinier presidential library here. We're talking about lucrative, multi-million dollar speaking engagement fees. Look, it is a very, very, very profitable thing to remain in good standing with your own party. The Obamas signed a $400 million deal with Netflix. Why? Well, they're still in good standing. So why did Joe Biden go crazy on the way out? Well, two reasons. One of the reasons is the one we talked about earlier. He's not with it enough to keep the animals in his party in check. But the second reason is the Bidens, they don't care about remaining in good standing with the Democrat Party. They're still at war with the Democrat Party. Nancy Pelosi, her spokeswoman, came out in a public paper and called Jill Biden Lady McBiden. That's somebody whose last name is Pelosi, Lady McBiden. Jill Biden has recently blasted Nancy Pelosi publicly. Remember we talked about it a little bit last week? Jill Biden came out and said, "I can't believe she knifed my husband. We've been friends for like 50 years. The Bidens did so much damage and took the clothes off of the emperor on the way out the door because the Democrat Party knifed him out the White House, and he no longer cares if he remains in good standing with the Democrat Party. Joe Biden, we all know he's probably not going to be alive by the time they put the finishing touches on that presidential museum he's going to get. What does he give a crap about? Isn't that amazing to sit and think about? All right, I'm going to switch gears here. Maybe do a couple emails real quick, but I do want to get to, how we act now. What do we do now? Meaning, how do we treat the other side? What's our best way to go forward? Because unity is the theme of the day, right? Before we get to that, I want you to unify with your Byrna pistol launcher. Meaning, I want you to practice with it, if you will. You see, Byrna, it's a less lethal launcher. That's why it's legal in all 50 states. You don't need a permit. You don't need a background check. It doesn't shoot bullets. It shoots pepper balls or tear gas balls or kinetic rounds. It hits. It explodes. It'll stop a bad guy in his tracks for a long time. You will live, and you won't have to go to court, and you won't have to go to jail, and you'll get a Byrna pistol launcher. It'll save your life, and it's legal. But they'll send you practice rounds. Practice with your Byrna. You might just find yourself enjoying it, and you'll be a lot sharper with it. And in honor of Inauguration Week, they have a custom bundle discounted at 15% off MSRP. You want to get a deal? Today's the time for a deal. It's in honor of Inauguration Week. You go to BYRNA.com/Jesse. Byrna.com/Jesse. go get a special bundle and practice. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, a wonderful Monday. Of course, it was a Medal of Honor Monday. We've had a good time talking inauguration stuff. You can find all that on iHeart, Spotify, and iTunes if you miss any part of the show. Or you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Yeah, why did Ronald Reagan give out 406 pardons, H.W. 77, Bill Clinton 459, George W. 200, Barack Obama 1900, Trump 200, and Joe Biden 8,000? Well, two reasons. As I said originally, he was unable and unwilling to put brakes on the communists who control his administration. That's one. And two, you hand out pardons to everyone and their brother, including your family members, when you don't care about the reputation of the Democrat Party. And that was always the danger the system faced when it came to Joe Biden. The system, as I warned you they were going to do it a couple years before they did it, the system wanted Joe Biden gone because they didn't think he could win again. And they decided to make him gone. But he was still there after you shoved him out of power. And the president can still do a lot of damage. Whatever, let's do some emails before we get back to politics. Jesse, thank you for remembering the Tang and its skipper. Also notable was the USS Wahoo and its commander, Mush Morton. His name is Dudley Morton. Although Mush is what everyone calls him. None were awarded the Medal of Honor. The crew was legendary for aggressively sinking Japanese shipping. It was Mush who achieved the first down-the-throat shot of a destroyer, charging the Wahoo with murderous intent, sinking the destroyer. The Wahoo by itself wiped out an entire convoy. The Wahoo was the first submarine to enter enemy harbor and sink a ship in the harbor. Yeah, those Navy guys in World War II, down-the-throat shot, Chris. Okay, so I touched on this a little bit. I'm not going to spend a long time on it, but remember, when you think of submarines, it's very tempting to think about submarines today, which are super fast, up on the surface and down below. You just go wherever you want to go. Back then, in World War II, when you were on the surface as a submarine, remember, you have virtually no armor. They're not armored. They're not made to be armored. When you were on the surface, you can move okay because you still have an engine, a motor. You're running on fuel, okay? But back then, when you went down, just because they weren't as advanced technologically for obvious reasons, you only moved electrically. You went from being motor-powered, fuel-powered, to electric-powered. You were extremely slow. Extremely slow. And as I tried to point out last week, have you ever seen, that's a good example, here's a good example. Have you ever seen on the news or on social media an above the water shot from a helicopter of a shark swimming in the ocean? Ever watched a nature show? Maybe a shark close to the beach. It's insane how visible they are, isn't it? They're not hiding at all. If it's daylight, you have that you can point out each and every one. Look, there's that one there, that one. They're not hidden at all. Well, those sharks are oftentimes pretty deep in the water. I realize this sounds like an obvious point, but water is very, very, very clear. And when you're looking down, you can see it easily. So when you were a submarine in World War II, you had no armor. Your only protection was beneath the water, but even beneath the water, you still are unarmored and you can be seen quite easily depending on how deep you can go, and you can't move. What's a down-the-throat shot for a destroyer? If you are an American submarine, well, really any submarine, but if you are a submarine, a World War II level submarine, you understand that destroyers are there to kill you. Destroyers are in large part there to hunt and kill submarines. That destroyer is equipped with all the depth charges and everything it needs to take you out as a submarine. And if that destroyer has seen you, if he has laid eyes on you, that alone might be a death sentence because he's going to catch you. You can't try to outrun him. He's going to shoot his surface guns at you if you remain on the surface. And if he pops you even once, guess what? You're not anymore waterproof, so you can't go down below. He doesn't even have to sink you. He pops you. You're not waterproof. You're finished. Now you try to go down. He knows where you went down, and he knows you can hardly move after you went down. He's going to cruise that area hunting for you, looking for you, and he's going to depth charge you to the bottom of the water. So what is a down-the-throat shot? Destroyer gets its eyes on Mush Morton and his crew. Mush decides, well, I guess we're just going to slug it out. And he just points that bad boy at him and fires torpedoes at him and nails him head on. You don't normally try for that shot. You try for side shots because that's where all the surface area is. He nailed him head on and sunk him. Those guys were a different breed, man. And in case you are wondering what happened to Mush Morton and his crew, I don't know. It's really one of those sad things. Nobody knows. They're dead. We know that. The Wahoo. And this happened in World War II. It's why there are so many MIAs. It's why oftentimes there's not a body buried. You send a crew out who's not necessarily in radio contact at all times or whatnot. And sometimes they just don't come back. There are rumors about this or that. The most popular theory is there are Japanese accounts of finding a disabled submarine on the surface and air power flying in and taking them out. And they think that was where the Wahoo was at the time. But they're all gone, right? They died. They died for their bravery. But freaking awesome, right? Let's talk about looting the treasury and how we should handle the other side. Before we talk about that, let's talk about something wonderful. Caring for the families of those who didn't come home. First responder families, Gold Star families. How can we do that? Look, the pain of losing somebody never, ever, ever goes away. But we can help. We can maybe pay off a home for them so that widow and her kids don't have that financial burden. That's what Tunnel to Towers does. They build communities for these families. They pay off the mortgages for these families. In your darkest hour, Tunnel to Towers comes along just to help. And that's where your $11 a month goes. And more than 95 cents of every dollar goes right to its programs. That's unheard of in the charity world. You want to help these widows and orphans? Go to T2T.org. T2T.org. We still have an hour. Hang on.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.